Okay, just lift up your hands. Let me speak some words over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your grace on everyone gathered in here this evening. I pray in Jesus' name that everything like a struggle is cancelled in Jesus' name. Things that are difficult to accomplish, they become easy in Jesus' name. Let there be ease. Let there be ease. Ease that is supernatural. Ease that is supernatural. Everything that you struggled with, it becomes easy. It becomes easy. It becomes easy. Difficult situations are becoming easy in the name of Jesus. There's a grace over your life to make things easy and to make things soft in the name of Jesus. You will not struggle with anything in the name of Jesus. Supernatural ease by the Holy Ghost. 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 You will be helped in places. You will be helped in the name of Jesus. You will be helped everywhere you go in Jesus' name. The Lord shall send His help to you speedily in every situation in the name of Jesus. Receive the help of God. Receive the help of God. Help that makes things that are difficult easy by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. From this time, do not struggle with anything, because there shall be help. Help that is sent to you. Help that is sent to you in the name of Jesus. Difficult situations are turning around. 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 Impossible situations are turning around. Impossible situations are turning around. I provoke angelic assistances. Impossible situations are turning around. The Lord will come through for you. The Lord will come through for your business. The Lord will come through for agendas that you have planned in the name of Jesus. And everything will become easy in the name of Jesus. You know, while we're praying, I saw a vision of something that looked like a hard wall or a hard rock to crack through. And suddenly, I saw in the vision that that vision or that hard wall or rock was being made softer to pass through. And here's what the Lord is saying. Everything that has become difficult or was once difficult or that seemed like an impossible situation or that seemed like a seemingly hard situation to get through, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every other name, in the name that is above every other name, every difficult situation becomes easy by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you. You will not arrive at a point in your life where it seems hard to break through. Not again. Not again. Not again. All hardened walls are giving way. All hardened walls are giving way. All hardened situations are giving way. All hardened situations are giving way. All hardened situations are giving way. Long-standing situations are giving way. In the name of Jesus, by my word, anointed of the Holy Ghost, let every hardened wall in situations be cracked open and broken open for you to move into your next level. In the name of Jesus, it becomes easy as you believe the words that are spoken over you. It becomes easy as you believe the words that are spoken over you. Wherever you went to, you were rejected. Whatever you did, it was rejected. You go back there, you will be accepted in Jesus' name. Every impossible situation by the Holy Ghost turns around in the name of Jesus. I provoke reactions by my words. 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 In the name of Jesus, every situation gives way to God's word in the name of Jesus. Move into your next level. Move into your next level. Move into your next level of influence. Move into your next level of affluence. Move into your next level of ministerial, you know, strength and continuity in the name of Jesus. There's supernatural ease. 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 You will not be stopped in Jesus' name. Not be stopped. You'll not be stopped. You'll not be stopped. You'll not be stopped. You will not be stopped. You will blossom. You will not be stopped. You will blossom. 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 You will bear forth fruits in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Father, thank you that every situation that seems hard, you should picture them. A vague mind is a mind that will not have anything to picture. If there isn't any, just give God the glory for how far he's brought you. In Jesus' name. We're going to have a very quick instruction. On your lips, make sure, this is via the Holy Spirit, make sure you don't have words like "it is impossible" and "it is difficult to get through." Put those words far away. Let them be far away from your lips. Let them be far away from your lips. Let these words be far away from your lips. It almost seems like it's very difficult. You know, those kind of conversations. And your lips, let it utter words of possibility because of the great grace of God. It's possible. It's happening. We trust God. We believe God. Let it be on your lips. Let it be on your lips. Put away impossibilities from you. For with God, that which he has said he will do, consistent with his word, is possible. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Amen. Right, so we quickly move into a study, quick study. Looking at the inward witness, and I'm trusting this teaching is going to be a game changer for many of you. So, I believe strongly that we are going to yield and practice this. Now, in Ephesians 4, You don't need to drop it. Verse 11. There are gifts given to the body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of a ministry, that the saints will no more be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, lying in siege, waiting. But you know, there is the ministry of the prophet, and you know, Kenneth Hagin says that, I believe it because I'm a Hagin sort of student, I'm a Hagin student, so I believe it. He says that to flow in the ministry of the prophet, you would most likely have at least two of the gifts flowing effortlessly in the ministry of the prophet. Now, the ministry of the prophet comes with, you know, discerning of spirits. It comes with, which deals with sight. You know, discerning of spirit deals with sight. So when you see Jesus, when you see angels, when you see demons, when you see every other thing in the spirit realm, it's the gift of discerning of spirits. So many times people mistaking that gift for, say, getting to know whether you are bad or not. No, that's quite not the essence of the gift. The gift of discerning of spirits actually has to do with more sight. So the visions and experiences are mostly what's called the discerning of spirit. Now, there's also another gift, which is the word of wisdom, which has to deal with, you know, the prediction of events that are far ahead, you know, to speak things that are yet to come and to see them happen. The word of knowledge are confirmable details in the present and in the past. So the word of wisdom is that gift that has you speaking forth. The word of knowledge actually is confirmable. So it's present. It's something that we know, right? Then we have another utterance gift, which is prophecy. Now, the ministry of the prophet is quite distinct because, of course, for you to be called into the ministry of the prophet, you must have been a mature saint, because the essence of the apostles, the prophets, you know, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, is so that the saints will be perfected. It means that they have grown, or they would have grown to a level of maturity to commit to other saints, of course, God's word and what God's word says. So it's quite interesting to, now why am I sharing this with you? It's because I want to make a single statement, is that when you see other people tell you that they are prophets and they see visions and they see this and they see that and they see this and they see that and they do that, and they're able to flow in certain details and they're able to flow in certain things. Now, quite while it's good to desire that, right? I can tell you for free, the inward witness is as supernaturally powerful as any of the spectacular or spooky manifestations that comes with the office of the prophet. So you find out that people despise the inward witness in search for a prophet. I call that disrespecting the Holy Ghost. So they are searching for a prophet on some mountain, a prophet from some ministry, a prophet from some whatever, a prophet from some. And then they despise the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, to do this is not good at all. We said that the primary way that God is going to be leading everyone, disclaimer, including the prophet, is through the inward witness. Including the prophet is inward witness. Including the prophet, not excluding, no, it's not like the prophet is seeing visions and all that. Including the prophet, if they will tell you the truth, and me, I'm telling you the truth, is that the primary way God leads every believer. Every believer means that the prophet is included. The apostle is included. So including the prophet, the primary way, because the prophet is first a believer before he's a prophet. He's first an apostle before he's a prophet. He's first a teacher before he's a prophet. So there's a primary way that God leads every believer. And I'm saying that that primary way is through the inward witness. Now, there are certain times where I told you that the inward witness is going to be, right, the response of the Spirit to events, right? The response of the Spirit to events, to situations. Do you remember that? Great. So you get to see that it's also going to be having a response concerning God's work, His purposes in all the earth. Right? Great. Now pay attention. Now these emotions also would also be channeled towards God's will on the earth. So the leading is concerning His work, His purposes in all the earth, what He's doing in your life, what He's doing in situations that is exposed, whatever it is that He's doing. Now, these emotions also, or Spirit-inspired emotions, would also be channeled towards God's will on the earth. That's why we have a very typical emotion like compassion. Because in as much as it looks very normal, but remember that compassion is what draws Jesus to ask people to pray that more laborers will be sent. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. So Jesus, being moved with compassion, is a Spirit-led emotion channeled towards the will of God on the earth that brings to pass God's plans and God's purposes. We saw how that Jesus also prayed with agony. Right? Prayed with agony. Intense, heartfelt pain in the heart and in the mind. And when he prayed with agony, I mean, when he was in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So there was an agony that led to a more earnest prayer. And that would be channeled towards God's will in the earth. Many times when people, for example, one time I remember someone calls me. I'm going to give you a typical example. And this person tells me that, oh, person was excited, and the person told me that, oh, pastor, we have just started preaching to this person and to this person, and I was listening. I was like, okay, great. And then the person said, pastor, he has no place to stay. His hair is bushy. He just doesn't have food to eat. He's that kind of a person. And normally, as I teach you, I'll teach you how to pay attention to what the Spirit says with respect to information posed at it. Now, it's not being spooky, right? It's not being spooky. But if you don't have a prayer life, I'm wondering how you're going to do this, because you're going to be more full of the flesh. And so you might just be tempted to think that a flesh's response to it might be how it wants it to be. But that's not what I'm trying to say. All right? So I'm going to teach you all of that as the days go by. So the person told me, now, while I was listening to the person, I'm listening with my natural mind. I'm listening with my reasoning mind, which is of the soul. I told you, the soul is of the will, the emotion, which is soulish, a response to information also brought to it. So while I was listening to that, I sensed in my heart so much unease. Because then the person was telling me, wow, we're going to preach. Well, in my soulish mind, that's wonderful. And maybe he smokes or something, I don't know, but we're trying to get him. That's wonderful. Okay, maybe he is, we're hoping to have the best of him. That's wonderful. We're hoping to disciple him. That's wonderful. So while my mind is saying, that's wonderful, that's great, that's good, deep within, there's almost like somebody, Kenneth Hagin describes that as wearing wet socks on a dry bed and about going to bed. You know, that's pretty uncomfortable. Right? Just imagine, the place is cold, you have wet socks in your feet, and you're going to bed. Quite, your sleep will be funny. So, while I'm listening, and I'm thinking, that's great. There's an inner man that's having a response to the situation. So I'm listening with my reasoning mind, loving what I hear, because I feel like that's great. That's great a job. That's a great heart of love. Then inwardly, there's a red sign. That's dangerous. So suddenly, I told him, I said, he said, okay, what did he get? I said, no, you know, let's hold on with this. Then I told him, I said, get no female around him. Yeah, so make sure there's no female. Get a male or get males. No, but no female should go close to him. Now, I didn't know why, but I believe I had a response. So I said, don't get a female to him. Make sure he has males only around. And I, you know, for some funny reason, I said, don't worry, he's not been eating for a couple of days. He won't die. You know, let's feed him maybe 2 or 3 days, 4 days. Just give him some bread and something. He will be fine. Now, that in your natural mind seems very harsh. Because why would somebody not eat for 2 or 3 days, and you seem very fine inwardly about it? Then I said to him, I believe I was prophesying, because now I'm very much conscious. I'm very much the things I see, I don't need to even say that I'm seeing, like I'm seeing the realm of the spirit. I don't need to say that. The things I'm seeing, is that just it? Just go and do it. Just it. So I told him, I said, you know, some of these people. And then he told me that he doesn't look like a Ghanaian. So when he was talking, there was this unease. I told him, I said, you know, some of these people, they could be thieves or hardened criminals in other nations, and they run to other places and they seek for what. I remember I told him something like that. I said, by now, before you realize, the police are looking for him. And I didn't see that in a vision. I never saw that in a vision. I never heard it audibly in my voice. A couple of weeks later, the news breaks. Police have been looking for him. They are, what? He tried to harass a girl. I didn't see that. If I told you I saw it, I'd be lying to you. I didn't see anything like that. But just while he was speaking, paying attention to what the inward man was saying, yes or no. Now, I told you that the inward witness gives no details. It gives no details. There's no details. You don't know why you just don't want to be involved, or you don't know why you just don't want to get along, or you just don't know why you say no. Sometimes you might even want to say yes, reasoning it out. I told you there's a difference between your reasoning and the inward intuition. That's why I took some time to show you Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 19, Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 25, Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1 to 6, how that God was going to put his spirit within. So his spirit was going to be put within. Few weeks, the news breaks. So I'm like, well, I see that happening with me very constantly. Very, very, very constantly. So now I'm not very shocked. So I'm like, oh, okay. We thank the Holy Spirit for his lead. First, it happened as an inward intuition. First, it happened as a yes or no. Of me just saying that, no. No. No, not this one. Not this one. But my reasoning mind would want to say, oh, what if you help? What if you do? What if you do? What if? Now, that is when clarity truly comes on God's word. Remember, the Holy Spirit is actually the author of God's word. If he says, go ye therefore into all the nations of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you might as well want to find out from him where exactly. You don't just go because you've been told to go. Well, you could also go because you've been told to go, but at least pay attention to where he leads you into where he has told you to go. So, the inward witness is a response. Don't forget that. Is a response. I remember some months back, in November, almost December, when I lost my granddad, and we were supposed to buy these sheaths. They were flowers. Some of you who know sheaths, they are flowers for coffins. And so I bought some 3-4 sheets or so. I think I made Grace go get them for me. And boy, I left the sheets in a car at around 11 a.m. on a Friday. Or on a Thursday. On a Friday. The things were supposed to go on a Friday so that it can arrive on a Saturday. So the car goes back around 10. Now this is, I'm actually talking about from Dansuman to Kaswa. So I left the things. So the car had gone. So by the time I got down, a few minutes later, I remember that, oh, I've left the things. Where's the taxi? I can find the taxi. So I quickly picked the car back to Dansuman. I go there. I'm asking the drivers, oh, there was a man here. He took me this time. I said, oh, we don't know him. I said, what? How could here be a station and you don't know the man? I said, oh, we don't know. I was like, wow. So I said, okay, maybe I would go and come back tomorrow. So while paying attention on the inside of me, wow, I sensed this calm, as though I was not troubled. As though something had not happened. Now, don't take that for granted, because we're dealing with things that were needed on Saturday and I didn't find them on Friday. So, but I just knew that I wasn't supposed to go back home. So I went back to the market, stayed there till around 4 a.m. in the morning. 5:30, I came back to the station. And they all said, it's even worse. Why is it worse? Today is a holiday. Now, I think it was on a Friday, a Thursday that the things were missing. Friday was a holiday. Saturday, they needed the things in Tamale for the burial. I was at the station. And even at the station, there was this calm, my God. So I had to tell God that, God, these things you are doing, I really don't like it. Because the things, I've not found the things. And you are pretending like there is nothing else that is happening. Because I pay attention to the inward witness. But don't forget, in my reasoning mind, there's going to be agitation. I'm using my own, there are a lot of stories I can share with you, stories from day one. So, in my reasoning mind, there's a lot of agitation. Like, what if they don't find these things? What if I don't send it? How is it going to look like? How is it going to be? And boy, it wasn't a small funeral. I'm not saying this to brag. It was a big funeral. Yes, big one. Small family, but big one. A lot of people came. They said I received reports and they were telling me how big the funeral was. I was like, I didn't know. So imagine, I was thinking about all these things and all the, you know, the backlashing and all of that from aunties and uncles, because they are all, you know, waiting to have decorate what. I was there, people of God, 5, it was not found. 6, it was not found. 7, it was not found. 8, it was not found. 9, remember, I had not slept, it was not found. 10 in the morning, was not found. 11, it was not found. 12, it was not found. And I was still there. And boy, the calm in my heart, yet still the agitation in my mind. The anger as to why I agreed to go and buy the sheets for them. Because I could have told them that they should go and buy their own sheets. I said, okay, let me just be good to them. So there's agitation in the mental faculty mind. But deep down, there is a calm. Listen to me. I'm sure some of you have been in situations. You've been in issues. You think things have happened or things are probably happening. But on the inside, there is a calm. In the mind, there seems to be an agitation. But on the inside, there is a calm. There's this calm of God's Spirit. That is God communicating to you. That is God telling you that everything is fine. Don't work up yourself over it. Don't get troubled over it. Don't worry over it. I am sorting it out. So, around 12 in the morning, at 12 in the afternoon, the bus station guy who had seen me a couple of times from the evening up to 12 a.m. in the morning came and he told me that, you know what, if I go, it will help me because they are not finding the things. So right there, around 11, actually, I was actually speaking in tongues. Let me tell you something. In this time, it's time to use angels. You're not begging them. They're ministers of God to you, sent to you, so they could help you in times of need and in times of difficulty and in times of trouble. So I began to speak. I said, in the name of Jesus, I put my angels to work. I send them forth. Get the things. Find the things. Make sure they call me right here. So I was speaking. You see, the reasons why believers don't have answers is because they don't know what to do in situations that come to them. So, I keep speaking. Mentally, it's like, why should I have to buy this thing? Inwardly, in my spirit, is this, everything is fine. As though there's nothing even happening. A few minutes later, the bus driver starts calling me from a distance. Hey. He was running, coming. Then he came to me. And he said, hey, I am very determined. Yeah, Peter, he came to me. He said, I am very, very determined. Then he gave me a phone number to call. Then I called. Then a Muslim guy picked up. Then when the Muslim guy picked up, he started talking. And he said that the person he's speaking to is a very, 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 very fortunate person. That's what the Muslim guy was telling me. long story short, describes to me how that he had to make sure that the things were kept for me. He said he doesn't do that. But those particular things, the Muslim guy kept them for me. So I called him at a different station, went there, went and took the things, and I smiled. I said, God is faithful. Listen to me. If you would learn to trust God's Spirit in every situation, if you learn to trust God's Spirit, you see, not all things work out the way you expect them to work out. Not every time. It's not every time it works out the way you are planning that it should work out. But if you can trust God's Spirit, if you can trust His lead in situations, you will always have the best. So that's a typical example. The typical example was not the, just the peace in my heart. Oh. At a point in time, I was like, you ought to be kidding me, you know. You ought to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. These are things that are lost. I was with Grace Gagara, and then we're going for a meeting. We're in a car with two or three different guys. A few weeks after that incident, I found my things. Then another guy goes to leave his things in a chotro. And the things have gone. They've sent the things. He's not going to find Accra. Where are you going to find it? He's not going to find anything. So he came to me and he said, man of God, this and this. A bag, a whole bag of things. Man of God, let's do this, let's do that. You know what I told them? I said, let's hold our hands together and pray. You know what they did? They laughed. They laughed. So I turned and I told Grace, I said, these people will not find their things. I said, don't find them. They won't find the things. And truly, they didn't find the things. And they have never found the things up to today. Me, when I was in Kumasi, I met a guy. This story I'm telling you, Clinton was there. I've told you sometimes before. I told the guy had lost his things, who was going to school. And I met the guy. We're on evangelism. And I told the guy that, I asked him, I said, we want to preach God's word to you. And the guy told us, no, we don't really have, I don't have much time. So I said, what's wrong? He said, oh, I left my things in the car. And I told the guy, I gave him a condition. I said, if you would listen to what we have to tell you, the things are going to be found right here. Right here, not tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you that you'll find the things tomorrow next. Here now, we'll find the things. And I remember adding to him, this story I'm telling you, you can ask him. I remember adding to him, I said that when the car comes around, the car will slow down. You don't need to be watching. The car will slow down. We all will get to see that this is the car when the car is coming. So the guy said, what am I trying to tell him? Already he has been there for close to 3 hours. So we started teaching to him, and then Clinton was caught, because if this thing doesn't happen here, what are we going to do? What are we going to say to him? I said, you know what, just relax, let's just preach. We preached after. At a point in time, we saw that he was trying to look on the road, and I told him, I said, see, don't listen to what I'm telling you, just do what I'm telling you. Relax, listen to what we have to tell you. The car will slow down when it comes here, and your things are going to be found. People of God, after we got him saved, got him filled in the Holy Ghost, a few minutes later, here comes the car. Here comes the car. You know the funny thing? The mate was in the front seat. You see, there's a mate that's supposed to be. The mate was in the front seat with his hands outside of the window and calling. I don't know whether he was calling passengers. I don't know what I was saying. But who finds a mate in the front seat? A mate is supposed to be at where they open the main seat and people enter. This time the mate was in the front seat. And truly, 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 when the car got there, it slowed down. This thing I'm telling you, I'm not telling you a folktale. I'm telling you something that happened. I'm glad I have a witness. I'm telling you something. Clinton was screaming. Come and see glory on the streets. Glory on the streets. Go, 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 go. The car slowed down. He went and he got his things back. You must learn to trust God. Learn to trust God. I'm telling you a real life story. I will not lie to you. That day, if it had not happened, I don't know what I would have done to myself. Maybe I would have just praised God and thanked God and then just move forward. But it happened. It happened. It happened. So you're going to take this witness seriously. You take it seriously. Don't be moved by things that are flashy on the physical. Don't be moved by things that look very honorable. Pay attention to what God is witnessing by His Spirit in your spirit. I think today we just touched on maybe something relating to peace. But it's not what I wanted to teach you on that. And I still remember I have some clarity to shine on the statement, when you get closer to the thing, there is a response. Or when you get closer to the situation, there is a response. When you get farther away from the situation, or the person, or the event, there is also a response. I want to put it rightly so that there is clarity to it. But you will pay attention also to the peace of God on your heart. To the peace of God in your heart. When your peace is disturbed, when you are restless, when you are agitated, when you feel uneasy, it's almost like a stop sign. You will have to pay attention to it. Pay attention. Always in many situations, look out for the peace of God. Do you have the peace in your heart? Is it raining in your heart? It almost flows like a river. In your heart, as you pay attention to it, flows like a river. Flows, it's almost like you can tell. Sometimes the situation you are in might not even be good, but you see, the peace of God flows. Sometimes the situation you are in might not be good. It might be a very dying, uncomfortable situation, but there's a peace of God in your heart. Sometimes also the situation might be good, then there's a restlessness of God. There's an agitation. There's an uneasiness in your heart. You will pay attention to the leading of the Holy Ghost via the inward witness. What I'm teaching you is not spooky. It's not spooky. It's not spooky. You have it every day, but you don't pay attention to it. It's not spooky. It's not spooky like a vision. It's not spooky like a vision. In camp meeting, one of the camp meetings, I didn't go for one of the camp meetings. Yeah, I think 2019 or 2020. Yeah, one of the camp meetings, I was not there. I was in Tamale. I got up to go. The inward witness said, "Hey, where are you going?" I didn't go. Yeah, I didn't go. So I called Pastor. I said, "Pastor, I have a thought of this. Listen, I'm going to create some, disclaimers. Because the inward witness is not fear. You know it. As you practice it, It's not fear, because when you post fear on people, it's not an inward way. You say, oh, yeah. Yeah. But remember, whenever some of these things come, you will have to speak to your pastor about it. And if your pastor says, come. Remember, there's going to be no contradictions. Listen to the point where I teach you. Don't listen and add your own thoughts in the teaching. Okay? Great. So don't listen and add your own thoughts. Listen to what I'm teaching you. Then when I'm done, you can now combine it together. If not, you will conclude on certain things that you are not supposed to conclude on. And it's a series. And that's what series does. Before I realize, you are concluding that pastor says that you should not come forward what when you are. No, that's not what I'm saying. So you listen to the point which I teach you. Then other points can be developed on those points. I want two people who have been able to practice the inward witness. You don't mind sharing your experience with us, and what you learned, how were you able to apply. So those who are called in, if you wouldn't share your experience with us, or if you don't have any, could you? Yes, please, so that others can call in. Okay, thank you. Anybody who wants to share their experience with us on the inward witness? Oh my God, is there anybody? Okay, inward witness. None of you have practiced it. You've not had instances to practice the inward witness that you've been taught the whole of last week. Or you're hiding it. Anyway, anybody? Nobody has practiced the inward witness, or nobody has had instances where they have practiced the inward witness. Nobody has practiced the inward witness, or nobody has had experiences of the inward witness between last week and this week. Okay. Yes, good evening, Cloud Gloria. It's good to hear from you. Okay.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to share my experience.
Okay.
Professor, please, I was trying to gather them together. So I might not be able to see all of them, but it's not all of them.
Okay. I'm sure if there's sound in your background or there's a distraction, maybe you can.
No, Pastor.
Yes, this is better, even though there's noise in the background, but it's better. We can hear you.
This is Pastor. Thank you once again, Pastor. So, Pastor, sir, please, I recall having a thing about, say, one of Sir Powell's disciples. He came to mind Saturday morning. Yes, and I was having an offering about it, and I was like, I was going to ask him about it, but I forgot. And then on my way to campus after evangelism, he came to mind again. So I decided to speak to Sir Paul about him, and then he told me he was trying to reach out to him as well. And then I had some things, based on some questions and some things that was going on with him. He spoke to me about it, and I told him what I felt in my heart, or what the Holy Spirit was communicating about the situation. And he told me, as he did as such, it was very fruitful. Yes, it's supposed to say. Yes, it's supposed to say. And then, secondly, I was praying, and then someone came to mind. I've been thinking on how, okay, no, Pastor, please, this is one. Pastor, please, I'm sorry, they are now coming together. Pastor, please, I was thinking on how to go about like following up on some disciples, and I could tell how there was some rushing feeling of impatience or some confusion was trying to pop in. And I remember how you said sometimes you'd be very calm on the inside, but like on the outside, it's not really calm. So I realized I was very calm on the inside. I was very fine, but it's like there was some, what you have to do. So I recall I met a lady who had been thinking on how to go about discipleship with her. And then when she saw me, she was asking me, that's when we came back, that same Saturday, she saw me, she was like, oh, did I come from somewhere? And I was like, yes, went for evangelism. And then she was like, oh, she wants to join us on what she's doing, on what we are doing. And then she was asking me, like, how do we go about our things? And that's somebody I'm like, oh, because she had some mindset about how we go about our things. I was thinking if I'm to speak to her, she might not really respond how I wanted to respond. So, but she came, she was like, she wants to join the amazing thing is she offers architecture. So I was like, let me relax with her because already the course takes a lot of her time. Then I was speaking to her, she was like, oh, architecture, she's already angry with the course and she should sit somewhere and she say, this year we are doing ministry. I was like, wow. So I took her through what we normally do, and I put her before and upon her. Yes, this pastor say that's one also. Pastor, I think for now this is what I can really share. Yes, this pastor say. Is that, so with the lady, I enter my CA, I felt like she's supposed to be in CFA, but I didn't know how to go about it because she said something about how we go about our things, one of my disciples. So I was like, oh, how will I be? But always, since I'm a CI, I used to like, no, this is supposed to be in CFI. And Pastor, please, this is what I remember. Thank you very much, Pastor Steph, for the opportunity.
Amazing. So she was having leads on reaching out to somebody. So the Holy Spirit is, you know, laying out some promptings on the heart as to getting to this person, and that's very good. The other, she had a lead as to what the person was going through, and she also had probably some wisdom attached to the lead as to whatever it is the person was going through. That's great. The last person before we move on to today's short teaching, next person and last person. I saw my Yvonne calling. Did you call in because you wanted to share with us some experience?
Yes, please. Good evening, Pastor Fair. Good evening, brethren. Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity to share my experience and the inward witness. I'm so grateful. So we went for evangelism last Saturday, and then after the evangelism, when I was leaving, Pastor asked me if my transportation was enough to take me home, and I said yes. So whilst I was in the car, I wanted to make sure that the money would be enough for the coins that I had. And then when I got to La Paz, I went into the second car. But in my head, I'm like, God, please, this is the only money I have. I don't know what I'll get for next week. I was just thinking of it. And then when I entered the car, I just had the leading to bend my knee, my head on the seat. So I just did that. And then when I looked on the floor, I saw 50 cedis notes. And then I took it. So when I took it, I really wasn't sure. So I thought it was for someone. So I was just waiting for any of the people to say that it is yes, and then I'll give it back. I sat in the car, the maid collected the money. Nobody said that their money was missing, and then I knew that it was mine. So I just took it, and I was so very excited about it. So that was my experience that I had for the inward witness. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity to share. I'm so grateful.
Interesting. That's an interesting experience, if I would say. And so the inward witness there was she having to have a response to Luke. Remember, it's normally a response of the Spirit. I don't know why I want to laugh here, but I'm just trying to keep myself from not like laughing anyway. So we're moving on to our teaching. We don't want to make this a doctrine, but actually we can we can have more of these experiences. See, so I'm not the only one who has these experiences. And normally experiences come in via teaching. And when you are taught, it becomes easy for you to replicate whatever the experience is. So we said that the inward witness is going to be a response of the Spirit to God's work and purpose in all the earth. Same with emotions. We call them Spirit-inspired emotions. They are often channeled, these emotions are often channeled through, right, to the fulfilling of God's will on the earth. And we've been looking around the subject matter, just making sure that we are getting a grip on it very, very well. You see, yes, because the New Testament prophet is not supposed to prophesy in the leading of the people, right? The New Testament prophet's responsibility is a confirmation of the leading of the Spirit. So when you see a prophet outside come and tell you this and 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 this, he's seen this and this and this and this and this and this about your life. You see, you have to be very careful because there will be a witness of the Spirit to what is being said. Now, that's quite dicey because, of course, that's an external person or an external prophet. Somebody you meet outside, you don't know, you went somewhere, the person is speaking to you. It's not familiar with the person. The person should have a confirmation to the voice. But the office of the prophet and the pastoral are quite different. Because in the pastor's office, actually, he shepherds, he controls, he guides, he instructs, right? But I'm talking about the ministry of the prophet, where you meet somebody you don't know, the person just comes to you and tell you that this and this and this and this and this, but you don't know about it, you've not had a witness about it, you've not had, you know, anything come up to you on your heart in relation to whatever it is that is spoken. You have to be careful. Kenneth Hagin advises that we should shelf those news. We should put them in the shelf and cover them until we know that, okay, we are sure about what is being said and we can go back for them. So we must begin to master out the inward witness. And in these teachings, I was teaching you how that you are going to, you know, get a hold on yielding to the inward witness. In fact, the issue with many believers is not that they don't have an inward witness. The issue with many believers is yielding or knowing that that is the witness in itself. You find some believers say, I just didn't know, but there was something. What's that something? It's called the inward witness. So we looked at some other Spirit-inspired emotions. We said that they were not going to be of the soul in the sense that when you see something, there's a reasoning to it, and that reasoning could come alongside with emotions. Nope, it's not the soul, or it's not the emotions that come with the soul. These are Spirit-inspired emotions. And these emotions are God's leading concerning his work, his purpose in all the earth, same with the emotions that will be channeled towards God's will in completing what he wants you to do. It's also going to be God's will concerning situations, God's will concerning happenings, you know, God's will concerning any other thing that's, you know, happening around you. There's going to be an inward witness of that. But I want you to be careful that do not seek an audible voice, an inward witness, a vision, a dream, on something that the Word of God is exclusively clear about. You see, for example, God tells you not to marry an unbeliever. Then you say you are looking for an inward witness for the reason to marry an unbeliever. That's stupid. So you don't seek an inward witness to things that God's word is exclusively clear about. It's clear. There's no ambiguity to it. Right? You only seek you know, witnesses. You only seek leadings as to the things that God's word authenticates. However, it's not specific with. It's not specific with. So we're going to pay attention to all of those things. I think I'm going to have a special session on issues concerning relationships, because that's quite interesting to pay attention to. But as we teach it, we're going to go. We're going to go into that so that we'll pull out some tears, you know, that could have tendencies of getting us out of what God wants to do. So we look at some of these spirit-inspired emotions. We said compassion is a spirit-inspired emotion, a sense of strong love, right? We saw how Jesus had compassion on the people because they fainted, because they were scattered abroad as sheep, not having a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest might send more laborers into his harvest. So we see that compassion is what moves Jesus to instruct people to pray. We also looked at agony as another spirit-inspired emotion. You know, we saw how that Jesus' spirit-inspired emotion was typified in agony, such that he turned sweat, you know, I mean, his sweat turned blood. And we saw that in that agony, there was an earnest move for him to pray. It was after he was filled with agony that he was moved to pray more earnestly. So we can see that what the Spirit of God is doing is inspiring Jesus' heart to praying out the will of the Father. I'm telling you, if Jesus maybe had not prayed in that manner, there were some things that we would not be able to go through. Because remember, he was just as man as he was as God. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was both together. So he needed to submit himself to both laws to survive. Right? Today we're going to look at another spirit-inspired emotion. It will bless you. Grief. Now let's establish a very key emphasis here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. If God's Spirit is on the inside of us, and we're going to be receiving leadings from the inside, there are going to be tendencies that we carry his emotions. Now, when I say we, I'm talking about our spirits joined together with the Holy Spirit carries his emotions. He says in Ephesians 4:30-32, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It means that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be grieved. And I'm going to explain to you, you know, what grieving will entail. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the word grieve is actually an interesting word. And I'm going to give you quite a couple of phrases to explain that. It's to make sorrowful, as the natural grief will mean. It's quite natural that it means to be sorrowful. Or to affect with sadness. To make sorrowful. Have you met someone who is sorrowful? What do you see on people who are sorrowful? Type something that you see on someone that's sorrowful. Yeah, they have a sad face. They have tears. Great. They are moody, they are in distress, they are weak, right? So, fatigued, beautiful, beautiful, fatigued. So you see that? Low self-esteem, great. So all of these come with some sorrow. You can see it some way or the other. So you meet somebody who is affected with sadness, the person is thrown into grief. It also means to offend. To offend. Now, these two last ones are most going to be closely related with what I want you to see about the Holy Spirit. It means to make one uneasy is the word grief. It's actually the word lupio. It's to make one uneasy is the word grief. So, remember, if the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit can be grieved, it means that we can have spirit-inspired emotions of grief. That is, to make one uneasy. You know, you cause a person to scruple. It's like, oh, to affect with sorrow. So you are troubled, disturbed, uncomfortable, uneasy. You do not like or want. You're disturbed by something that you don't really like or you don't really want. Is the word grief. Now the Holy Spirit, in leading us, will cause grief, and it could be spirit-inspired. Now, there's grief of the soul. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spirit-inspired emotions. You see, there are people that you meet, and you are grieved because you need them born again. Like, this person is not born again. You are uneasy about the fact that the person is not born again. The person is not born again. It's a Holy Spirit-inspired emotion. Remember, it fosters his plan and his will on the earth. Sometimes you could look on a city and your heart is filled with grief for the city. You feel uneasy about the city. You're offended about the city. Somebody is saying something about a situation and you are uneasy about what is being said. Or somebody is suggesting something to you, but you are uneasy about the suggestion that is being given. All of these are spirit-inspired emotions. If you pay attention to them, you're going to realize God is going to be leading you very supernaturally into the fulfillment of what he has called you to do in the plan that he has for the earth. Let's see another example. Acts 16 verse 18. I sense the anointing here a bit stronger. So I want you to listen very carefully. Right? Acts 16, 18. And this, so let's read from somewhere around verse 17. Then we'll get to 18. So let me tell you the story. There was Paul, you know, preaching and being in a place. And there's this lady. The same followed Paul and us and cried. The lady was following Paul, you know. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. Many days. You see, for you, once you hear that, oh, this servant is of the Most High God. Show us, is sent to show to us. This is Paul, Apostolos, the Holy Ghost filled Paul. If you are the one, your head will be expanding to be getting bigger. Because yes, she's not saying anything wrong. Listen, she's actually saying something that is true. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Everywhere Paul went, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the many way of salvation. Giving fans, but Paul looks at it and says, "This fans, what is behind this fans is not good. What is behind what is being said is not good. The source from which it comes from is but a lie." So, in the inward witness, you're going to learn to pick truths even when it looks like the person is saying something that is seemingly right. The inward witness. The person is smiling at you. The person is giving you funds. The person even buys you food. But what is behind all of those actions are not of God. There is this something that I am disturbed by. Tell what it is. But I'm disturbed. That's how you get it. It's a spirit-inspired emotion. The more you pray about it, the more it becomes real to you. Oh, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Apostle. This one is not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. I'm uncomfortable. There's something I can't tell. But I'm uncomfortable. I don't know. I really don't have an issue with the. But there's this. I don't. I'm not. No, I'm a bit exaggerating now. But you are going to feel that way. I don't know why. But I can't. I don't. Oh. The inward witness. You meet the guy, he opens, a gift for you. He gives you this, he gives you that, he sends it. But you still have it in your heart that this guy, I seem to also like him too, but this guy, inward witness. So, the Spirit of God, of the believer, which has his spirit joined together with the Holy Spirit, can get uncomfortable and can react to things. So, watch what Paul did in verse 18. He says that, and this he did many days. Every time you are the man of God, you are the bishop. Oh, let's do this business. The business is very good. We will get our dividends. The returns will come in multiple folds. We are going to be fine. Oh. Like uncomfortable. Me, I used to have this thing. Even in natural things like writing an exam. Yeah. Like when I'm going to, maybe we are going for a class. We all know that it's a class, but maybe there's going to be a surprise test, or I just have this. You have to read something. You have to learn something. You just pick the book. You go there. Say, everybody, pick your exercise books. Hey. Said this lecture, why? But me, I don't say this lecture, why? I'll be telling myself, I knew it. And there was nothing like an exam. I knew this thing was going to happen. You didn't hear a voice, you just felt, nah, you need to be serious. It's something. You need to be serious. And then you go there, pop, it's there. So, you know, the word grieve actually is to be uncomfortable, to be troubled, disturbed. You see, Paul being disturbed turned to the Spirit, and quickly he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. So, Paul was grieved with the Spirit. I mean, he was grieved in the Spirit towards the spirit of divination that was at work through the lady. And you know what she was doing? She was bringing gain to her masters, because she had a spirit of divination. You can go and read the story. Yes, she had a spirit, and she used to bring gain to the people that actually owned her, because she had the spirit. She could tell a few, one or two things, and people are excited, and then but she's now saying, oh this is Paul. It's a man of God. Is that this? People of God, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention. Don't love people too much than what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Pay attention. He knows more than you know. He knows people than you do know them. He knows situations better than you know them. Pay attention to him. You know, the Holy Spirit's response, you see, should be giving a lot of attention. Now, listen to me. These emotions, they may not be logical. In fact, most of the times, they are illogical. 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 You can't lay your physical mind to it. You can't lay your physical mind to it. If you wanted to look at, you can't lay your physical mind to it. But there's this unrest, uneasiness. I had somebody come to our church some time back, and the person said, when I came into the church, I knew I should stay. That's an inward witness. I knew I should stay. I knew I should not go anywhere. It's an inward witness. I knew this was where, and he never went. I knew I should stay. I just knew this was where it was. I didn't need anybody to tell me a prophet. I just knew this was where it was. That's the inward witness. I knew this was it. As to why you're saying that, you don't know, but that is it. So they are illogical. So, Paul, I'm uncomfortable in my spirit. There's a spirit-inspired emotion. I'm not too... Hey, follow it all. Some of you would despise until you get into the ditch. So at the latter part of the teaching, I'm going to teach you activities you can engage to make sure that you are also following rightly the inward witness. So you see, because the inward witness is an emotion, of course, it's a spirit-inspired emotion. That's why when I said when it comes to relationship, it's difficult. It's not difficult, but it takes quite some experience and skill. Yeah, because in relationship, you are sort of like you are in love. It's like you love the person. So it's like your inward witness is even your emotions are ping. But if you are very sensitive, you still get to know. Yes. So Paul is grieved. They are supernatural. So you must look out for spirit-inspired emotions. So you must begin to look out for grief. I get into places and I test those places via the inward witness. Yes. I get into places. I just need to be there. I told you that you need to expose. You need to expose the situation to the witness via prayer, meditation, as you do all those things. You just need to expose the situation to it. You see that you would have responses. You know, no, I'm not supposed to be here. You know, no, I'm not supposed to move in here. This is not, I'm not supposed to move in here. Maybe another place, but definitely not here. The inward witness. I met somebody who was going somewhere. Place was good. And the person kept on saying, I don't really. I said, okay, if you don't really. No, I didn't say that. I think the person was able to go. And I was like, wow. I called another person. I said, it's time for you to move to another city. And the person said, yeah, I've been having this, you know, desire to just move. The inward witness. Or, I've not been having this desire. It's like, I'm uncomfortable about it. When I pray about it, I'm uncomfortable about it. I can't logically understand, but I know that this thing I'm not comfortable about. So as you pray, there's going to be clarity concerning God's will in the earth. You're going to see the hurting people and you will feel uncomfortable about their hurt. That's God leading you to help. You're going to see situations you should not be in and you will step out of it because God is leading you. God makes you uncomfortable. God, through His Spirit, makes you uncomfortable in the situation. So you hear me say, I'm never, I'm never sad or worried. The times I wake out of my bed and I'm uncomfortable. So uncomfortable, I don't know what is wrong. But you see, I don't need to know what is wrong. I've studied it. I've practiced it. You see, I've practiced it. So I know it when the Spirit is leading me to praying in a certain way. So I resort to prayer. And as I pray, and as I pray, and as I pray, you see that state of, you know, being uncomfortable, you know, it's also a sense of heaviness. It's what it's called. It's also grief, a sense of heaviness. In your spirit is an emotion. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, there's something not too bubbling today. So that when you get into prayer, because there are things that should happen. There are things that should happen. There are things that should happen. From these teachings, you are going to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit via the inward witness. You will not fall into useless trouble, like trouble you're not supposed to be there, but you find yourself there in Jesus' name. Every time you will escape, because the Lord, via the inward witness, and your yielding will cause it to happen in Jesus' name. Pay attention. Pay attention. There are some people who can become my friends ministerially. Yeah. Because I'm uncomfortable. I don't know why, but I feel, no. Don't stay away. Not because I have an issue. I don't have an issue at all. But there's this thing that says stay away. And I try to stay away. As much as possible, I try to stay away. I remember a time, this guy, you know, any time I saw him, I felt uncomfortable. I loved him in my heart. But there was this part of me that said, be very reserving about this fellow. The spirit does that. Be very reserved. Don't get into it. Don't get into it. Don't get into it. You said the person will be smiling. The person will say, hey, wow. You are, oh, wow, God has anointed you. Be very reserved. Be very reserved. Pay attention to that. It's going to save you from a lot of troubles. Yes. You ask a lot of relationship and married people about this. They'll tell you. They'll tell you that we sense something, but we didn't pay attention to it. We at the point that we sense something, or I sense something. The one that is more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is, I knew this, but I didn't pay. I just followed blindly that I was in love. Yes. Pay attention. One time, I was going somewhere, and I was at the airport, went with someone to the airport, and they had called one of the people around me, who happens to be like a Gangalia auntie, to come and advise me, because, you know, I'm that person who is not paying attention to what everybody's trying to say, because I think I want to do what I want to do. And I respect them, and I understand that very clearly. But you know, when I went there, I could sense this. No, what are you trading away? What are you doing? She was talking. The way I looked at her, because I had a sense, and I looked at her. She knew that no, she had to stop making those conversations to me. Illogical. But they are supernatural. Illogical. But they are supernatural. Illogical. But they are supernatural. The lady is crying out and saying that these are the apostles. Men, servants of the Most High God. They show us the way of salvation. But Paul is saying, behind these accolades and this sweet talk are things hidden beneath and under. I told you, you will not have understanding to the inward witness. It doesn't come with any further knowledge. Like, okay, the person is going to do this, the person is going to do that. There's nothing like that. I'm talking about the inward witness. I'm not talking about any other gifts. Other gifts will come with that. The inward witness, there's nothing like that. As you pray, as you spend time with the Lord in prayer, as you take your meditative time seriously, your morning devotion seriously, you will start, you know, picking out things that should happen. See, and that's why, you know, sometimes they say that women are followers of the inward witness better than men. Because naturally, in the natural sense, a man is very logical. When he sees something, he thinks about it logically. You see, the woman thinks about it heartily. So that's why she's more likely to have to get something that the Holy Spirit is trying to say than somebody who just sees and actually the deal. They said $1 million. They said we should go and bring $50,000 and we will give you $1 million. If you give $50,000, you get $1 million. Okay, $1 million, we'll save it in the trade. He's not considering the thing heartily. If you get, if you just multiply, let's add minus, we'll pay off the shares, we'll pay. Then he brings it to the wife. Then the wife says, Honey, I don't feel right. Oh, you every time. It's like we are talking about business. You are talking about what your heart is saying. You say, Honey, this thing you are going to do. No. It's a tried and tested deal. Oh, my friend from France has done it. It went through. Germany, it has fallen through. Switzerland, it has fallen through. I'm now the fourth person. Honey, this is our life-changing opportunity. Say, I don't know, but after I went to pray about it, I'm not comfortable. No. Every time it must be comfortable. Sometimes you have to take risk. Only if the man is humble, he will listen. He would listen. If he's not humble, he would just say, honey, is that pie? Sikanashi. The whole house is quiet. If the lady is wise, she will not go and say, you see, I told you. That's not a wise lady. She'll be quiet and she'll be looking at you. Say, honey, I've served your food at the table. Please, you can go and eat. Honey, is everything fine? Honey, you are too quiet. Are you okay? Honey, what is going on, right? Honey. But she knows very well that the money is gone. The money is gone. The money is missing. Well, that's the natural point. But I'm telling you that in this place, we are neither male nor female. So we are all going to be very, 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 very led by the Holy Spirit, responding to the inward witness all the time. You can ask your fathers this, they'll tell you. Yes. Many times, 7 out of 8 times, they failed woefully. They fall flat to the ground. See the woman staring at them like this. Because she has gone to pray. Maybe there was a woman who was praying after, but maybe he didn't pray. So, let me, disclaimer, don't start looking at your mother like, my mother, I knew. My mother is always the one leading the house by the Spirit. I've always known. I've heard stories like that. Then you start to look at your dad in a different way. No. In here, right, we are all going to be led by the Spirit of God. It means that both male and female, right, they are going to be led, or we are going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Man, you take time to pray. You take time to follow the inward witness. Woman, you take time to pray. You will follow the inward witness. And we together will prosper in all our endeavors. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for clarity into your word. In Jesus' name.